Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
This is Dante Lee, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO Queen.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and download the free book, 101 Ways to Improve Your Marketing and Sales. So my guest today is a artist, teacher, performer, mother, and a very wise and inspirational individual. She's the founder and CEO of The Intersection and the headmaster teacher of Remember Institute. I would like to present to some and introduce to others none other than Reverend Bridge Feltus. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy that you have taken time out of your very busy schedule to come on to the SEO Queen Tech Show because you definitely take a unique approach to technology. And I wanted to have a conversation with you about technology and what it means and, you know, all the things that you do. So I want to go back in time. So I want to know, like, what inspired you to pursue creating The Intersection?
What inspired
the creation of The Intersection?
So I have a son. His name is Maxime. And Maxime is very, 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 very science-oriented and also really, really smart. And as he was growing up, we would have all these conversations about the intersections between science, art, spirituality, and technology. And in his teens, he was also really sensitive. So in his teens, he started to become more aware of the world around him and all of the crises and turmoil in the world. And we started having these real deep conversations about why things are the way they are, what's going on with the environment, what's going on socially across the world. And just, you know, what we think is the through thread and what we believe to be what we came to was the idea that at some point in time, humanity decided that science, art, technology, and spirituality were separate and did not need to be interactive with each other. And so science and spirituality, for example, were considered opposite or opposing each other. They were supposedly in conflict with each other. And technology and art are considered somewhat opposite or opposing each other. People who do art on modern technology are considered to not, most of the time, you know, we hear about, for example, with music, people who use all the new technologies for music are by the old school folk, they're considered not really artists, and that's not really true. I mean, artists use all different kinds of mediums. So the idea that you would bring those two things together and create a whole new way of expressing is beautiful. And then if you could switch any of those four around with each other and come up with really interesting outcomes. And this is not actually a new idea either. This is inspired, our conversations about this were inspired by Kemet, which is the indigenous name for Egypt. And in ancient Egypt, science, art, spirituality, and technology were studied as one. So all the maths and sciences and philosophy and art coming out of Egypt in like 15,000 years ago, this was all part of the same school of study. And so, you know, geometry comes out of there, chemistry comes out of there, astronomy and astrology come out of there. And these things, chemistry started out as alchemy, for example. And alchemy is simply like the original form of chemistry where they were starting to learn how to manipulate metals and basic elements, and also physics was a part of this, metaphysics and physics. So we were really interested in exploring the idea that we could go back, use the practice of Sankofa, which is an African practice of going back and getting what was left behind. So we decided we would kind of explore what it would look like for modern day humanity to go back and consider having these four disciplines interacting with each other in creative ways. And that was the beginning of us creating the intersection for mankind.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You know, when I first started my podcast on Bashani Radio, it was called The Jazz and Tech Lounge. So the first iteration of my show was a blend of both the music and the technology piece. So,
you know, you play a viper. So this is a great example of technology and art coming together. The viper is a high tech instrument. This is not the original.
I play the NS Design NXTA.
I'm sorry. Viper. Yes. Viper is a brand name.
Different.
Yeah. Viper is a brand name.
That's a Mark Wood violin.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but these electric violins with all these new fancy features to them,
right?
You know, you can make the sounds of the traditional violin and more,
right? And
so it doesn't take away from the artistry; it actually expands it in a lot of ways. It used to be very what do they call it? I was a purist for a long time and would judge any electrical anything in music. And because I love instruments, I love the sound of the texture of the strings and the contact, the human contact with the instrument. And that's all gotten so much better nowadays because technology keeps growing. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about it, the traditional instruments also at some point were considered high technology. You know, they weren't always, all the strings that we see on traditional instruments today weren't always there. Some of them only had like two or three strings when they were originally created. And so if we kind of take away our sort of technical shock because things have happened so rapidly over the last few decades. Mm-hmm. This is not new to think about this. It's just where we need to think.
Right. So one thing that really stands out to me about the intersection and the Remember Institute is the idea of thought technology. What is thought technology?
So when we talk about thought technology, it is exactly what it sounds like. When we talk about technology, we're talking about the mechanical or functional, practical use of a thing, like how the mechanics of it works and how it's built. For example, if we were talking about painting, the technology of painting has to do with the texture of the mediums, so, and the kind of brushes or other tools that you would use in the painting, and the kind of the foundation, the canvas or board or whatever you're using as your base. So all of that's the technology of the art. So when we talk about thought technology, we're talking about the mechanics of thought. And more specifically, in my case, I'm using thought technologies. They are mechanical devices that help people to overcome things that don't serve them in their thinking. So for example, I am a certified advanced theta healing practitioner. And in that practice, I help people to clear beliefs that don't serve them. So with theta healing, we are helping our clients to clear and release beliefs and thoughts that don't serve them in their everyday life. And then we're replacing those with beliefs and thoughts that do serve them.
I have to ask you another question. So I'm sure there's someone listening to this episode and they're like, thought technology? I can help clear thoughts? How is that thought technology different from affirmations?
Well, with affirmations, we use affirmations in my work. That's a thought technology. Mm-hmm. Theta healing is more is a specific mechanics. It is using a form of meditation to not just implant thoughts that do serve you, because that doesn't work if you have opposing thoughts still there. So for example, if you believe that your capacity for abundance is limited, and let's say you think there's only so much you can have or so much you can do. Let's say you can't imagine yourself having $1 million. Well, actually and factually, you don't actually know you can't. So this is a belief that doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve the possibility of you having that. And so we could remove that thought, the thought, I don't have access to abundance, for example. And then we would replace that with the thought, I understand the definition of abundance. I know what it feels like to have abundance. I know how and when to see myself as having abundance. I know the perspective of abundance and so on. So we actually remove the negative belief and replace it with an affirming thought, right? And a whole series of thoughts around that particular belief that we want to plant. So it's sort of like a cross between meditation and hypnosis, but it's not hypnosis.
Gotcha. So because I'm very much involved in Remember Institute, supporting the technology, I would like to know, what was the inspiration for starting the Remember Institute, and why did you start with Heal Thyself? And what is Heal Thyself?
So originally we didn't have a separate thing. We had the Intersection for Mankind, and the vision for it was that we would have this festival once a year. We haven't even built that yet, but we want to have a festival. We want to also have a monthly live experience where people can come and practice Tai Chi and learn some element of science and spirituality and combining those things so that we can actually in real life apply this idea. And then I also wanted to, under the umbrella of the intersection, have Remember Institute, which would be a collection of courses that people can take. Like this is not available yet, but we'll be having things like regenerative gardening science. We plan to have a program for families with autistic family members, so that they can learn about autism and how to interact with their family member or their loved one in a more effective and healthy way. We want to do a trauma program for Black women and Black men, and that's a little ways out into the future, probably in the next year or so. And so we were working on developing these and some other courses that are similar. We have one called Advanced Poses that is a year-long process of taking some thought technologies actually and applying them to everyday life to make a difference in one's own life. Things like meditation or fear inventory, desire inventory. These are practices that are part of that Advanced Poses course. And then I was in the process of developing these courses and something really horrible happened. My cousin Michael died while in custody in Missouri. He had been arrested for delinquent child support. Actually, he'd been arrested because he had a warrant. The warrant was for delinquent child support and he had already paid it 2 weeks prior. And so there was no delinquent child support at the time that he was arrested. He was arrested and it was a Friday. And so they took him to the local jail. He did not have money for bail. And so he sat in the local jail until the plan was that on Monday he would be arraigned. However, he was a serious diabetic. He was very severely diabetic. And without his medication, without his insulin, it was not possible for him to survive, and they refused him his insulin. They refused to give him his insulin, and so he died. He died the next day, very traumatically, with a lot of suffering, and our family ended up getting a lawyer, and we spent a lot of time and energy trying to publicize his story so that we could get public support to get behind us with suing this facility. In the process of that, a bunch of conversations were happening on Facebook. I'm part of many spiritual communities, and some of them are predominantly white. And those communities, there were a lot of people saying really awful things and not understanding what was so awful about what they were saying. So I was having all these conversations, and I had done some consulting, diversity consulting work for a large community over the previous few years. And so I had some experience with the topic of racism, police brutality, et cetera. So being in these conversations was really taxing. I was very drained by the end of that year. I was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm over talking to white people about this topic because it was really frustrating. And I decided, instead of just throwing in the towel and checking out, that I would create a course and they could pay for my time and take this course. because for me, there was, I didn't feel like people were actually in the conversation with me with the right intentions. And so we created this course for people who are racialized as white. It's called Heal Thyself Transformative Initiation for People Racialized as White. And we, it's a 6-week course. We decided that I would put this together in with the perspective that there are certain basic principles that we could put in place, we could teach people, and then expose them to history from a different perspective, history from the perspective of people of color, and that they would be able, because of that, they'd be able to be more conscious and self-aware. So we started the course, and the first year we ran the course 4 times, and we had 5 or 6 people each time in the course. And then the next year, George Floyd was killed, and we sold out every run of the course, and then had to expand them to double the size. From our capacity was 10, and we ended up expanding it 3 times until we had 55 people capacity in each run. The course is really profoundly transformative. People come in, they don't know what to expect. They are challenged greatly. It's overwhelming. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of reading. There's a lot of processing of information. They learn how to metabolize the sensations and emotions they feel. They learn how to talk about these subjects. And we cover everything from 15,000 years of history starting in Africa, all the way to modern day systemic racism and economics, the prison industrial complex, reparations, redlining. We cover pretty much everything, and not just racism. We also cover ableism, feminism, sexism, misogyny, et cetera. And also transphobia, homophobia. We pretty much cover white supremacist, cis-heteropatriarchal, imperialist, capitalist society, and how that engineered society affects humanity as a whole, including ecological damage to the planet.
Wow. So I remember that Facebook conversation. I remember that. And I'm actually paying child support myself. And I made a payment that still has not posted about 4 or 5 months later. And getting this resolved has been definitely a pain in the butt. So it's, I mean, it's just horrible. So when you talk about thought technology, its use in Heal Thyself, how can the listeners who are listening learn more about Heal Thyself? And when is the next run of the course of Heal Thyself happening?
The next run of the course is May 26th. So y'all have got about 3 weeks before that to sign up. And so the first week and a half of the course is spent not even talking about race or marginalization at all. We talk about the thought technologies. So those thought technologies include humility, and it's the Zen Buddhist version of humility, which most people are not aware of. We talk about integrity, and it's a very specifically defined practice of integrity with a script to use and, you know, very well-defined descriptions of what it means to be in integrity or out of integrity. We also cover, what else do we cover? We cover the practices of fear inventory and desire inventory. Fear inventory is a practice that comes out of the 12-step program, and we utilize it with a few tweaks to help people to be able to process their fears and their resentments. And then desire inventory helps people to get clear about what it is they want, because we don't think about this. We don't think about when we're in conflict conversations where you may be talking about race with someone who has right-leaning tendencies, or who is, you know, by choice, very racist, or is a Trump supporter, or whatever. And most people don't know how to have a conversation that's actually generative. And this particular practice helps you to clear up for yourself what it is you want. Like, why are you having the conversation in the first place? And people don't think about this. They just get in arguments with people and they get mad and they fight, and there's no outcome, that's no desirable outcome. So remembering what it is you're in the conversation for helps with that. If I'm in a conversation to try and change someone's mind, or to give them information that they don't have, then I don't want to attack them because they're not going to listen. So if you keep your desire in mind, it's going to shift how you do things, how you interact with people, how you speak to people, because you're no longer just reacting from a trigger from something they've said. So we're actually in the business of having people be creative and generative in their behavior. So what that means is having desirable outcomes in everything they do. And this you'll find in all of the work we do at Remember Institute, not just in the Heal Thyself course. So people can find the Heal Thyself course on our website, which is www.rememberinstitute.com. And if you just click on courses in the menu, you'll see what courses we have available. Of course, there will be some courses that will not show up there if you have not taken the required courses that come prior to those courses, but you'll see what's available for a new student coming in. And we have our own social media inside of the campus online. And well, we've got a lot going on. We have a blog and a lot of other things happening this coming year as well. Over the next few months, we're going to be launching a lot of things.
So for those people who are not racialized as white, who can't enroll into the Heal Thyself course, what other ways can they get involved with the Remember Institute?
Yeah, we have other courses. We have the Advanced Poses course, which will be coming out soon within the next couple of months. There's a blog. We will be offering another course called Hidden in Plain Sight, which is a study of the Hermetic principles, and a lot of other things coming up. So what you can do if you are not taking a course right away is you can go on our website, www.rememberinstitute.com, and you can sign up for a mailing list. And that way we'll be keeping you in the loop when the courses launch. And you can also set up you'll be setting up an account as well. If you want to, we have membership like Patreon, but it's within our own system. We call them memberships, and you can also sign up for those as well to support our work with a $50 or what is it, $125, I think. We have two different memberships available, and there are perks with that. And for example, getting you get discounts on courses and things like that, and a private community on our social network.
So tell me a little bit about the Remember Institute community. What is it like to, you know, take, you know, the personal and collective trauma that we share and transmute it into this course? What has that process been like for you?
Not just for one particular course, but just overall with my private clients as well. you know, we as a people who grow up, who are born in a white supremacist, cis hetero patriarchal society, we have a lot of conditioning, a lot of social engineering that has us think in ways that are not powerful, that are not empowering, that are, you know, fostering all kinds of fear and self-doubt and scarcity in us. And so our behavior often seems crazy or dysfunctional, and we seem to struggle all the time, and we think we have to rely on luck, when there's just a lot of things that we've been taught that just aren't true. And if we understood that, and we could become more self-aware and more in touch with our own various systems on the three great planes of existence, mind, body, and soul, if we could integrate those with each other and think about everything we do in life as ordered systems instead of chaos, instead of randomness, and make intentional choices about everything we do, everything we say, and the way we allow ourselves to entertain thoughts, you can have a much more satisfying life. I found it for myself to be true that with all the practices that we teach and the philosophies that we teach, people find themselves quickly improving their lives. Just fear inventory on its own is a very powerful practice, because it makes you aware of the things you fear, so that when you're going through your day and something triggers you, you've already thought about it at the beginning of the day, and you've already given, you know, decided to give it up to your higher source, or however you refer to your your particular thing that you see as greater than you. And so when that thing comes up later in the day, you can go, oh, I'm thinking this way because I have a fear of this. And then you can decide in that moment, consciously, in the moment, to be present and make a decision not based on your fear, but based on what is appropriate in the moment.
So the flip side of that would be, after you've done your fear inventory and your desire inventory, you can make a decision on whether or not you want to be driven by your fear or your desire. Yeah,
exactly.
And I can personally say it works, because I do the practices, and a lot of amazing things have happened in my life because of this thought technology.
Me so too. That's why I teach it. It works. It works for me. And I have not met one person who actually follows the instructions and is consistent. It changes your life. It just does.
It's life changing in exponential ways.
Yes, indeed.
So my question to you, and I ask everybody this, what are your top three tips or strategies for success?
Oh, wow. Well, first, I'm going to sound like a broken record here a little bit, but the first one would be to get yourself into practices that help you to be more self-aware, so that you can be conscious of your motivations for the decisions you make. Because if you're not conscious about it, you'll be turning things down or seeing yourself as limited and not trying things or not asking for the help you need, or just overall not even having the motivation to do things just because you're not self-aware. If you're not self-aware, then you can't address your fears. So for example, you know, let's say someone sends me a message that's criticizing something I said or did. If I haven't done my work, then my first response might be to be afraid that, you know, that this person sees me in a negative light. And if I've done my work, if I've done my practices regularly, then I can actually assess whether or not this is a useful criticism, or if it's untrue. And if it's useful, I can take the advice or take the feedback and say thank you. And if it's not, I can say thank you and then throw it out the window. There's no need for me to get upset or fearful about what someone else thinks of me. And that's it's a faulty thought. You know, what someone thinks of you doesn't actually really matter.
So I was talking to a client earlier today, and they were, you know, reminiscing about their time in college as an English major and being critiqued. So it sounds to me like becoming more self-aware allows you to not fall to pieces when you.
Yeah, sure. Especially if you do all of the practices we teach, like if you do the fear inventory in combination with the desire inventory keeps you present to what you want. And if you're present to what you want, and you've committed yourself to have it, then you're going to do the fear inventory and you're not going to let your fears get in the way of you having the thing you desire. So in the context of my work, I want to create change. I want to be a source of learning for people who want to make a difference in the world. And so that is my desire. That is my commitment. And I can't allow things like my fear of scarcity or my fear of failure or my fear of making mistakes get in the way of that. So when those things come up, I need to have a clear understanding of why they're coming up. Half the time, they have to do with something that happened in the past. Most of the time, there are things like I might have that fear because I messed up something in the past and I'm traumatized from it. Well, it didn't kill me. So I could say to myself, okay, well, that might happen. I might fail, sure. But is it going to kill me? And if not, am I committed enough to the thing I desire in order to take that risk? Because the only thing that could happen from that is perhaps I fail and I can learn something from it if I'm awake and aware and present while I'm doing the work I'm doing. You know, that means I make myself available to feedback rather than hiding from it or defending myself against it. And it doesn't mean you take it all in, because sometimes people's feedback is about their own baggage. So, right. So all of this is about self-awareness combined with integrity, combined with the practices that we do, help people to be able to navigate the world in a more conscious and grounded way, which allows them to have emotional sobriety, which means that their emotions are not running the show.
Wow, that's powerful. So being self-aware, doing your practices leads to emotional sobriety, and emotional sobriety is very important to success. Well,
absolutely.
Well, Reverend Bridge Feltes, thank you so much for stopping by the SEO Queen Tech Show and teaching us about thought technology.
I'm so glad to be here. And I look forward to playing with you and all of your wild and wacky technical knowledge. We're going to have some fun together.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.